Truth. Welcome, folks. This is Tom D. I'll be your host. Richard Carey was kind enough to let me take a spot because I got a really special guest for us tonight. And just want to let everybody know, and John always yelled at me to make sure I always said today is December 19th. I mean, where the hell did 2023 go? I mean, it's been so crazy that, you know, you hope things would last a little longer so you can get some of it straightened out. But nope, just getting worse day by day. And I think next year is going to be, it's going to be a real circus. So we were planning on having having our guest on last week, but we got some wires crossed. That's probably my fault. Not the first time I've done something like that. But we got them now, and we will be taking calls on the second hour. And the call-in number is 512-248-8252. That is a number that I hope everyone will use. If you are one of those people that does not have free long distance, if you're still on an old copper line, you know, you had a phone number for years, and it comes in from the street instead of like internet or cell phone, then give us a call on our toll-free number, 800-313-9443. Now, that's toll-free. We pay for that. So if at all possible that you can use the 512-248-8252, please do that because it helps keep our electric, our phone bill low. And therefore, we don't have to give money to the greedy commercial operations. Our address, if you care to help us out, keep this on the air in order to be able to bring you great guests like the one we're going to have today, please help us out and donate to Republic Broadcasting, or you can use RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. It's easy for me to remember because I used to live in Round Rock, so I can't forget that. I do forget the numbers sometimes, so please bear with me. Our guest tonight is a gentleman from the Orlando, Florida area. Now, he has he's found some interesting information that he wants to share with us. He has come up with did a lot of research to find out how to perform what he has pulled off here. I don't know, pulled off is kind of like the wrong, really, the wrong adjective to use. He has basically done a lot of research to figure out how his local governments were taxing his property illegally. And he's going to share with us what he found out, how, hopefully as much as he can, about how he did it. But Steve Emerson is our guest. He was in the aerospace industry for years. He was also a musician, did gigs with Bon Jovi and the like. He's a musician, plays bass and keyboard. Boy, am I jealous, because the only musical skills that I have is installing a stereo. I mean, that's it. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't play. I mean, I probably couldn't even play the drums if I didn't have to keep a beat. So, but that's just the way it is. So years ago, he said, something's wrong here. You know, there's something wrong with the law. Why are they taxing my property? I'm not using it for commercial use. And he just started digging and finally figured out what was wrong and how to fix it. And now the city of Orlando, the people that work there, just love him. I mean, they just, you know, I'm sure they send him Christmas cards every year and all that, but that's a joke. So without any further ado, here is Steve Emerson. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Tom.
Great to have you here, man. I've been trying for a few weeks to get you, so we finally got it, got our schedule squared away, and I didn't mess it up this time. So,
as they say, good things come to people who wait.
That's true. Yep, absolutely. And I'll tell you, some of the stuff that I have, a lot of people out there know Roger Sales. A lot of people know that I've been looking for answers for probably 40 some years, because I've gotten into this in the back in the 80s, probably the 1979, 1980. And for all that time until about a year ago, before I met Roger Sales, I had no idea. I couldn't figure out what was the problem and how to solve it. And Roger, within 30 minutes, said, here's what I know. And I went, that's it. Something I've been looking for 30 years. And in that, I met Steve and some other great people out there. And I want to share with you what Steve has taught me so far. And I'm just a babe in the woods here. So I'm kind of like, I'm going to be learning right along with the listeners out there and see what we can do to try to take our government back from the criminals and stop, you know, the way I've always thought was take away their money and that will slow them down to where they can't keep abusing us. That was what I thought back in the day when we were, you know, having confrontations with the IRS. You know, if we stop paying them, take away their money, you know, they'll go away and, you know, they'll quit. But it didn't, took a while for me to figure out they're just making their own money. So it, no matter what we did, it didn't affect them. They just wanted to, as George Hansen, the congressman who died in a flight, KAL007, who wrote a book called To Harass Our People, found out that doesn't matter what we do by taking away their financial capabilities. They just make their own money and they don't really care. But Steve, you know, on the local level, what Steve has done is just short of a miracle. And I'm waiting to hear exactly his story, a little bit more details about what he's done, how he did it, and how we can try to follow in his footsteps. So, Steve, maybe you can tell everybody maybe when you first discovered that there was a problem and what you did to try to determine where the problem was and how to solve it.
Wow, that might take a lot longer than we have, you know.
Well, all right, give us the Cliff Notes version.
I don't know, as a little kid, I went to a Christian elementary school where they taught us the Bible and the Constitution. And so we were free people and all that neat stuff. And I don't know, as you got a little older in your early teens, you started doing certain activities. You found you had some bureaucratic idiot with a badge and a gun telling you had to have licenses or do things that, you know, made no sense. If you're free people, why would I need to do that? So kind of like the thing we were talking about earlier about the, you know, the mini bike thing, you know, or I was kind of riding through the neighborhood to get to the wooded area. And if they caught you, they were messing with you and just raising hell with you. It's like, you know, you'd think you just, I don't know, robbed a bank the way they would act over it. Or, you know, it's like, we're just riding. They know what we're doing. And so those things like that, you know, caught my attention, you know, that why am I being messed with? We're not hurting anybody. We're not doing anything wrong. I can ride my bicycle down these same roads as fast as I want. But the minute I got on my little Honda CR80 and decided to put first gear through the neighborhood to get this wooded area, and just so happens some guy, you know, cop comes around the corner and sees you, and all of a sudden the lights are on and he's, you know, giving you a third degree, and I just knew something was wrong, you know. That just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like that's the way free people in a free country would conduct themselves. And other things, the driver's license issues, and, you know, I got in my mid-late 20s, I bought a house, you know, and the property tax thing kind of made no sense to me why I just owe them this money because I'm sleeping and eating here, you know, and other things, you know, other monkey business kind of thing. So I'm just one of those kind of guys that's got to know. I just can't do it because all the other monkeys do it, you know. I've always had a problem with that kind of mindset, you know, and
Yeah, we when we spoke privately, I can relate to the mini bike thing because I had a mini bike. I had a Honda 50, a Honda 70, and I lived right behind a school. So we used to go ride on the school grounds, after school or on the weekends. And the cops were always after us. You can't ride out here, you know. Well, my parents pay taxes, for this school. Why can't I go out here in the ball field, ride around on a motorcycle? I'm not doing any damage. I'm not that. Or if we were like trying to go to a different area in town, we'd sit on the seat and with both feet on one side, and we would just kind of like coast along, throttling it. And if we saw the cops or anything, we would just jump off and make like we were pushing it. It was pain. A couple of times I got taken home in a police car with my motorcycle in their trunk, and they were real jerks about it. And back then I didn't, you were much more inquisitive than I was. I was just trying to figure out a way how I could stop getting caught. And you were trying to figure out why the hell are they doing this? And let's stop. We'll cut them off at the pass to begin with. So that's pretty interesting.
Well, I'm not sure if I quite had it that way, but I just knew it didn't make any sense of why they were messing with us over this. That's all. So, like I said, as you get older, I forget what the old saying is. They say if you're not a bleeding liberal by the time you're 17, 18, 19, you have no heart. And if you're not a staunch conservative by the time you're 30, then you got no brains, So I just remember, like I say, things like that, you just started thinking about it, And I had friends that would do things like read the Constitution stuff and tell you stuff. And so, by the time I was probably 17, 18, 19, most of my friends sitting around, hiding in an orange grove, getting stoned, realized something was wrong. We're not free people. We got to go hide to do this, And we realized then government's not your friend. They're definitely not there to do what you think they're there to do. And the best thing you do is stay as far away from them as you can. And that's kind of how we've all lived our lives, I think, since then,
So, I went to private school. I went to Catholic school at least for the first 5 years until I got chucked out for breaking this kid's jaw because he was a bully. And I cannot remember ever reading or being taught the Constitution. Nowhere, all the way up to like when I quit in ninth grade, can I remember the Constitution being taught. It's either maybe I just, I just didn't maybe have an interest, but I think something like that would at least stick with you a little bit. And I just don't remember ever. So I don't know whether the schools I went to in upstate New York, I lived in Westchester County, New York, which I lived a very sheltered life. Boy, did I leave a sheltered life. And because it was a little town and everybody knew everybody and like that. But I don't ever remember. So I know we had social studies and we had civics, and my wife was lucky because she went to school and she had a really good teacher who taught all that stuff. And he was almost like a revolutionary teacher where he was teaching them the Constitution and teaching them the rights. I wish I had had a teacher like that. It might have made a difference in why it took me until I was 25 to start wondering, what the hell is going on? So sounds like you grasped it a lot quicker than I did.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, once again, I guess I got lucky. I definitely, it was a Christian elementary school, Lutheran school. So I remember the sixth grade teacher who was actually the principal of the school, but he spent several weeks going through the Mosaic Law and the Bible thing and the Constitution, explaining a little bit of the Revolutionary War, what it was all about, and I found that interesting. Like I said, I just understood it. I mean, I think everyone has a natural, just an inherited instinct of the liberty, freedom thing, But like you say, when you go out there in the world, you just see it's not really working that way. So, they kind of get people just to submit to, going along with what all the other monkeys are doing, Like I said, luckily I just was never one of those kind of guys. It's kind of why I didn't get into drinking and drug stuff. It just made no sense. Why would I want to be a drug addict and a drunk? There's just neat things to do in life than be stoned all the time, So I don't know. It's just the way it was.
Yeah, it definitely is monkey see, monkey do. And I really don't like to drink or anything either. It's and I grew up in a VFW because my father was a member, and it was just one of my father's pastimes was to go to the VFW, and it was great. I mean, we had we lived right on a lake. We lived on a lake, and so swimming and all that stuff. But yeah, I really think I missed out on something there because I just think that if they had mentioned that, maybe they were too busy in Catholic school trying to brainwash you with religion than they were to try to show you how to get out of the religion of government, you know, and the government abuse. But so what happened, you know, what was the first thing that happened to you when you said, hey, why are they, you know, what brought to your attention? Why are they taxing my property? You know, how come they're doing this? And what can I do to figure out how they think they're getting away with it and stop them?
It just made no sense. That's all. So that's, like I say, I'm just one of those guys that likes to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, and where I come from, whether it's flying airplanes or anything, music, you name it, even how to work the synthesizer. You have a manual that told you how to run it and how to operate it and how to, you know, do what you need to do with it. So it just made sense to, you know, like I say, read the owner's manual to the country, which Constitution, and started with that. And it made it clear it's a right to own property. Okay. And I found other things that made it clear that, you know, you can't tax rights, things like that. And in the early days when you're still trying to get this understanding, there's a reason they don't teach the law in this country. You know, there's a reason they don't teach you what rights are, what laws are, what taxation is, and how to use the courts. Otherwise, they can't pull this garbage on everybody if their people understand what the deal is. So that's things that I picked up in the early 90s, I guess, is when I really sort of started just reading things. I had a friend of mine's dad who was an attorney. He used to give me books every now and then because I kind of showed a little interest in it. And he kind of said, oh, you can go online now, and, you know, because Florida legislative, whatever, and you look at get the statutes. It's like, oh, really? Okay. So, you know, dial-up days, AOL, and I was able to get the statutes, started with the traffic stuff a little bit, like the ticket issues, the tag issues, 19. You know, as a musician, do I buy new bass strings or do I get the stupid tag sticker, you know? Well, I bought the bass strings, so now I'm riding around for a month or two with an expired tag, you know, and having to run through neighborhoods and stay off the main roads, make sure no cops get behind you, things like that. And it's like, why am I a free man in a free country? I have to ride around in fear over this, you know? And so that's where it sort of started with things like that. And as you got in the late 90s, when I first bought the house there in the late 80s, property tax was only like $600-$700 a year. So, okay, wasn't a real big deal. But as you got in the late 90s, and now my $80,000 house is supposedly worth $160,000. Now my property taxes are like $2,400. And, you know, I want to put a new roof on the house. I need new training for the car, things like that. So why am I giving this money to these people? I need it, you know. And so things like that just kind of got you started trying to figure out how they can do what they do. And just started reading the Florida Revenue Code. I got access to the law, legal encyclopedias, litigation guides, rules of evidence, things like that, and just started reading the stuff, you know? That's all you really got to do is just start reading it. We have a wonderful system of law. Problem is, nobody's reading it. No one's forcing the system to follow it. That's been the problem for the last 50, 60 years. If the system was for real, that's all they would teach you in school is the law. You know, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, Articles of Federation. They have you reading the Federalist Papers, Anti-Federalist Papers. If everybody was doing that, we wouldn't be having these problems, you know? But nobody does that. Not most people don't even know this stuff exists.
Yeah, most of them aren't even being taught the three R's, let alone anything excessive like that. And I guess one of the reasons that it never came into my thought process about property taxes is because I never owned a home until I was like 52 or 53, you know, because I was always working. I was moving. I worked in the nuclear industry. I was an inspector for the NRC. I traveled constantly. And even before that, you know, being in the military, then doing government contracts and then working in nuclear, you know, I didn't settle down and buy a house. My first house was in 2004. And then I just didn't realize, you know, at that point you're trying to, you know, make enough money to pay for that house, pay for the kids and pay for the food and all that. You didn't have a whole lot of time to even think about, you know, why am I paying this and, you know, how can I stop it? But, you know, some of the things that were in everybody's face was, why are they taking Social Security? Why am I paying income taxes and all that? And that was some of the stuff we focused on back then. So that was, and even then, even after I bought the house, They tried to bamboozle me because somebody was stealing the mail. The person who owned the house before I bought it was wanted by the police, which I didn't know about. And he was coming up in the middle of the night after the mailman or whatever and stealing all the mail, looking for his mail because he didn't have a forwarding address. Okay, I didn't hear the commercial. We have a, am I right, Julie? We have a commercial. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we'll help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
All right, folks, we're back. This is the first half of the first hour. We have our guest, Steve Emerson from Orlando, Florida, who's filling us in on some details about how to check on your local officials and see if you're stealing your money by charging your property tax when your home is for residential use and not, I'm jumping a gun, but not for commercial profit use. We have another break in about 5 minutes, Steve. So the reasons that it took me so long was because, like I said, I didn't get my first home until 2004, and of course I got stuck in the middle of where the housing bubble was, and probably paid a little bit more than I should have. But when you're working and you need a place, to hopefully, you know, build a little equity, which is a real joke anymore. You do what you got to do to try to accomplish that. But the property taxes, you know, I told you the guy was stealing the mail and they stole the tax bill out of my mailbox. We never got it. And then all of a sudden we get a knock on the door saying, hey, you guys aren't paying your property taxes. I say, well, we never got a bill. Well, we sent it. No, it's not our fault, you know, so you got to pay it. And we explained to them that we were new. And that, then we figured out that mail was being stolen. They didn't care. They still charged us 10 or 15% penalty, I think. I tried to fight it, and they just, you know, denied it. And I just didn't have the time to try to chase it down. We gave it a quick rebuttal, see what we could do, you know, two or three letters back and forth, phone calls, trying to shut them down. But, you know, we got stuck paying it. And then we started watching for the mailbox and actually caught the guy. So had him arrested for mail theft. And he tried to get out of it saying, well, it's my mail that I'm taking. Yeah, well, you're taking my mail too. So the U.S. Postal Inspection Service didn't take kindly to that. And they then they caught him, and he was already had a warrant out for him and his girlfriend. So he got what was coming to him. And, you know, it's all you can do about things like that, I guess. But I am now in my second home, and I want to try to accomplish what you've accomplished, even if it's just for the education value. And I know there's a lot of people out there I've talked to over the last couple of weeks who asked me, you know, when's Steve coming on? And I said, as soon as I can get him on, because I messed up again on the schedule. But you're here now, and we, can you remember about when you bought your home, and then when you discovered the time frame on when you discovered that you were paying taxes that you didn't think you had to pay?
Well, from the very beginning, I had a problem with it, but like I say, it wasn't real bad. I mean, I've always joked, if it was only 100 or 2 a year, I didn't really pay any attention to it. But as it got to where, you know, I was getting like $3,000-$4,000 a year as you got into the early 2000s. By that time, I'd already done a lot of research on it. And I got a friend of mine here who's a big fan of Richard Cornforth, another legal guru guy. And Richard's real big on these public records requests. So I'd been reading the code for like 5 or 6 years and going, you know, I think I got this figured out. But there's just no way they can do what they're doing, you know. And it was clear they have to have an assessment filed by the taxpayer every year to do the, a return to do the assessment. So Jerry's like, well, just, you know, let's ask them where the return is, because we've never filed one, so let's see what they got. So I did a public request asking for the return and the assessment and whatever statutes they were using. I did like 3 different public requests, each one asking for one of these particular items. And the next day, the property appraiser is calling me, wanted me to come down there and chit-chat with them. I was like, well, I don't need to come down there. Just, you know, make a copy of the assessment and then a copy of the return, put it in an envelope, and send it to me. He's like, well, if you don't come down there and talk to me, I'm going to have to give these public records to my attorneys. And I was like, well, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, why would this man have to give these simple public record requests to his attorney? So I said, okay, we're going to come on down there. And we had about an hour and a half long conversation about, you know, the tax code, all the issues there, the taxpayer definition, how I fit into that. No returns, no business licenses, things that clearly the tax code requires in order for you to even be a taxpayer. And the exemption section here in Florida is awesome. It makes it clear that if you were a taxpayer, all household goods, personal effects, and permanent residence exemptions, all that's exempt from taxation. So pretty much it boiled down to, if I'm not even a taxpayer, but if I was, everything I have here at my home would be exempt pursuant to the tax code. So how does it get on the commercial ad valorem tax rolls? And he just kind of bowed his head down and just kind of said, I'll take care of it. And that's okay. So we left, you know. He left the message even the next day, I think, saying that, you know, nice meeting you, nice talking to you. He took care of everything. Anything else I can do, let me know. And it's like, okay, I still didn't understand what had gone on.
Hey, Steve.
And this was like in August.
Hey, I'm sorry. I think the music, we're going into another commercial. Try to hold that thought. I know it's disruptive, but to your thought train. But we'll be right back, folks.
Sun pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back.
truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey folks, we're back with the starting the second half of the first hour with our guest Steve Emerson. Steve, when you described the guy dropping his head and saying I'll take care of it, I was picturing this guy in my mind. I'm standing there in front of this guy, and he puts his head down. He says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." I'm thinking in my head, okay, this guy knows what we're doing. We better take care of him so he'll shut up and not tell anybody else. That was the thought that went through my head. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're still not sure. My friend that was with me, Jerry, he kind of thinks maybe he thought we were some FBI or somebody in there setting him up or whatever, which I don't know if he thought that. After time went by, I could just tell by the way he was acting. Plus, I was rattling out the codes by memory. I wasn't reading off paper. I was rattling out the statutes. 193 says this, blah, blah, about the assessment. It has to have a citizen. And then 196 says this in the exemption sections. You know, so I was all over the code and the Florida Administrative Code, just whipping it out of my head. And I think I kind of freaked him out a little bit. But I could kind of tell that the way he was acting, I was not the first person to have this conversation with him. The guy had been the property appraiser here in his county for like 18 years. So I to this day, I still don't believe I'm the only guy that figured this out, you know. So, and he's probably been sued on it before, and so I think he was just more or less just, you know, shut you down so you can't go sue. So if it's on the tax rolls no more, then you really can't do nothing. And at the time, I didn't even know what I was doing. I mean, I wasn't prepared to sue or do anything. I was just kind of trying to figure this stuff out, you know. So I just kind of tripped upon it. It took me 3 years before I really realized I was off the tax rolls, you know. At first, I was freaking out because I got no trim notice. I didn't get any of their notices and then the actual ad valorem statement of what you owe. And I'm calling all my friends and sisters and brothers and everybody. Hey, did you get it? Yeah, they all got one. I didn't get one. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on here, you know? So at first, I was like, well, maybe they're going to screw me around for 3 years and claim I owe 20 grand I can't pay and then try to steal my house. So I was kind of a little freaked out for a couple of years till. But I was watching the record. There was no tax certificates being sold on the property. Nothing like that was going on. So I was like, huh. So like I say, it took me, and I didn't want to call up and ask what was going on, because if what I think was happening, I don't want to give you know, bring any attention to it, you know? So like I say, it took me 3 years before I really realized my property was off the tax rolls. Now it's like 2006 or something, and by about 2009, I realized it's just not on the tax rolls. That's why I'm not getting any stuff from them anymore, you know?
Jeez, that's just, I mean, just amazing. You know, sometimes we've discovered things or things happened and we have no idea how or why. And you know what? Don't ask no questions or tell you no lies and just, you know, carry on. But yeah, that's the possibility, I guess, of him having had this conversation with someone previous is probably a good possibility. Or maybe you were the first one that came up and the guy, you know, this guy knew that what they were doing was wrong, or people were volunteering, because a lot of this stuff is voluntary, because if it isn't, just like what Roger Sales said about, you know, pulling yourself with the, you know, becoming a national, American national, and all this stuff is voluntary, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't be constitutional. So the you know, it's possible that he knew this. Maybe did you ever check to see if his property was on the tax rolls or not?
No.
Yeah,
but what
did
my research? I'll tell you though, when I was doing research though, a few years before that, I was looking at things like stupid Bush Jr. That Crawford Ranch property, that wasn't on the tax rolls. They're Kennebunkport, Maine. That's where the Bushes are from. They have a mansion there. It's not on the tax rolls. That Dick Cheney had a bunch of property out in like Wyoming somewhere. It wasn't on the tax rolls, you know. So that was kind of a hint, you know. But
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that easy to really go through the databases and look up every public servant and find out where they live to see if their home's on the tax rolls. Most time, these people have these things where you can hardly even find out where they live or anything about them. So now I really wasn't concerned about that, you know. So
yeah, but it might be a good start, you know, if you find somebody that there is no reason that, you know, under normal circumstances that their home should be not on the tax rolls, and you find someone, especially if it's in your same county that you live in, and that's something I'm going to go look up too. I'm going to start digging a little bit. But if I find somebody in my county and their house isn't on the tax rolls, I'm going to ask them, say, hey, you know, why am I on the tax roll? Why isn't this person on the tax roll? And see if they can answer that. You know, just to shake them up a little bit. And
well, I doubt they'll be able to answer that. From my research and dealing with a bunch of these people, because I got other friends in other counties nearby, hey, I'm going to talk to my property appraiser or tax collector. Will you come with me? Yeah, sure. And you're talking to these people, and they don't know the tax code. They don't. I've even had them go, well, I've never seen that. Where are you getting that from? Oh, 40 minutes straight. Okay, well, I've never seen that before, you know? So that's I get that all the time, even in other states where people are working other things. They come up with the same stuff, or a phone call where they get some assistant appraiser on the phone and they're asking questions about the return under a specific statute name. And they go, I've never seen that statute. Maybe we call it something else, you know? So these guys aren't being trained properly. I mean, if you don't know what taxation is, what makes you think the idiots in downtown that work in the tax office know how it works?
Well, you would hope that they do, but it's, you know, we can hope in one hand and in the other and see which hand fills up faster.
Well, you would think so, but when it gets down to it, they don't. I mean, come on, everyone from president down to dog catchers take oaths of constitutions and laws they've never read and have no knowledge of. That's the only place I can think of where you can fill out an application and claim you know all this stuff that you don't know and get raises and promotions. Nowhere else can you do that. Anywhere in aviation, anywhere there. If you've been certified to work on certain airplanes, and they get you in the bay, and they tell you to take the shroud off engine number four, and you have to go, what's the shroud, which is engine number four, you're going to have problems, you know? That's something you should know if you're an aircraft mechanic. But you can get public service and ask them anything about the state constitution, anything about the state codes, they don't have a clue.
That's amazing.
Communists come in and corrupt all the institutions, and that's what's been going on pretty much since World War II.
Yeah.
They've corrupted everything, you know. I mean, the judicial's corrupt, and mainly just stupid judges, stupid people that don't understand really what they're there to do. They don't understand what rights are either. Very few Americans do. They have no idea what it's all about, be one of the sovereign people of your state and your country. We're told that's a bad word. If you're a sovereign, you might be a domestic terrorist, you know. So that's what these communists have to do in order to get people not looking in this stuff and going this direction.
Yeah, that's a term no one should ever use, and deny it profusely is the term sovereign citizen, because they have put a really evil moniker on that definition and that label, and it's something that could cause you a lot of problems. And
every court paper I file, that's how you do it. Here comes so-and-so, one of the sovereign people of the state of. That's who you are, whether you like it or not.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you got people running around with that sovereign citizen plastered on the back of their vehicles, and the cops go nuts.
Well, there's no such thing as a sovereign citizen. I can't find that term. One of the sovereign people. So, they just make up these terms. I've always had a problem with the patriot mythology people, you know.
For 30 years, I've been looking at that, maybe even longer, maybe 30, 35 years, with all of these different things these people come up with, the gold fringe flag, using all caps in your name, using the post office, using a zip code, Federal Reserve notes, the gold fringe flag, all of these stupid things that people had tried to convince me that's the reason that you're being taxed, and that's the reason that they can do this, that, and the other. And I always rejected all of it until I met Roger Sales, and then it all made sense. But I know you've been able to master the statutes in Florida. But if someone, you know, let's say me, I want to go here in Texas, I want to figure this thing out. I want to figure out how it is that I did a little search the other day, and I put in a property tax return into Google for the county that I live in Texas, and it kept bouncing back to 1040 and, you know, income tax returns, never could find anything. So if you can, and I'm not, like I said, I don't want to put you on the spot. Where do people start? If somebody wants to start this, you know, like I said, me, I want to start this. I want to figure it out. What would you suggest as a first step?
I start with the federal constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 limits all taxation to duties and imposts and excises. That's the only activity that anything that calls itself government can tax to fund itself. Then you go look up those words. You know, a property tax is technically an ad valorem tax. So they need to understand what that is. And the courts have been clear. An ad valorem tax is a tax on property used by a taxpayer for the profit-making activity. And an ad valorem tax can be on all kinds of things, not just land, but airliners, container ships, cruise ships, fleets of vehicles like UPS and FedEx and taxi cabs, all that kind of stuff.
Rental properties, things like that, I've read.
Well, it depends on what it's a private business you have the right to do. I mean, you could own four or five houses and rent them out. That doesn't make you a business. You have the right to do that. I could rent you my grand piano downstairs for $5,000 for one night. I can't find nothing that says I have to tell any idiots in government anything about it at all. Frankly, according to the Constitution, it's none of the government's business you're even alive. None of their business how much money you have and what land you own. They're not supposed to have any of that stuff. But they got us all filling out forms and all this crap and telling them everything from your mother's maiden name and all your children's birth dates. It's not supposed to have that. Only communists like to have information on everybody in their country, you know. But this country, they're not even supposed to know you're alive. I mean, what got my attention was watching Westerns. I like Westerns, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood stuff. And you're watching this stuff, and it's like, okay, what 1040 forms were they filling out, you know? I mean, no one even knew they were around. Or the Django flick, watching that, Dr. Schultz and Django. What W-4s did they fill out when they collected this bounty money? And who were they sending them to? Who was signing them? How are they getting forms back to them then, you know?
Yep.
How come just all of a sudden now everyone's paying an income tax on their paycheck? It's a right to work. Every state constitution here in Florida is Article 1, Section 6. Big old capital letters, right to work. So how would all of a sudden I have any business giving the IRS a dime of any money I make? And you're not. Like I say, it's not none of their business. The tax code only applies to taxpayers. And every right. tax code clearly defines a taxpayer as some legal entity doing some type of business in the area, commonwealth, taxing districts, things like that. That's what a taxpayer is. You can't volunteer to be a taxpayer unless you, I mean, you just can't be a taxpayer. You have to have a business license, a tax number, filing returns with some kind of taxing agencies before you can be a taxpayer. Bottom line.
Volunteer.
Well, I don't think you can volunteer if it doesn't touch you. You can't volunteer. The only reason why people pay taxes is because these idiots will claim they're going to throw you in jail if you ain't paying the IRS, right. or they're going to steal your land and put you out on the street and believe that's why the founding fathers fought the Revolutionary War to get a lodeal title so we can put a tax code in play that taxes you right out on the street. No, that's not the way it works at all. Not even close. We just have stupid Americans who don't read tax codes and just pay the crap without even looking at the tax code. I mean, I remember George Gordon, when I listened to him in the 90s, he made a comment one day, did you ever read the traffic code to see why you need a driver's license? No. At 16, you just went and got one because all the 16-year-olds will get a driver's license, right?
Yep. Yeah, and George Gordon is great. I actually have his School of Common Law on VHS tape from years ago. You know what he used to do? He would go out, he would read Supreme Court decisions, interesting ones, and he would go out and duplicate them. And then he would get the same situation. The cops would do the same thing, and he'd sue them. And they were so mad at him that they couldn't keep him off the roads because he didn't have a license, didn't have tags, didn't have none of that, that they took a backhoe and they dug a hole across his driveway. So he sued him for destruction of government, of private property, and they finally just gave up on the poor guy. But he had the he was up in Missoula, I think it was. And he was running. I wish I could have. I would have really loved to have gone to his school, you know, in person. But he had the George Gordon School of Common Law, and I think there's probably videos out there on the web of him. Really amazing guy, you know.
Yeah, he was very good with the legal theory. He just wasn't really very good with court procedures and you know, due process procedures. He didn't really understand how to use the courts, which is a problem with most of these guys I used to listen to. They understood the theory real well, but they just didn't really sit down and take the time to understand the anatomy of a court case and how to put it together and all the options and discovery issues and interrogatories, admissions, and when summary judgments come to file. Some people, I'm asking them, my case has been going on for 3 years. Did they ever file an answer? No. Did you ever default them for not filing an answer under the rules? Well, no. So, I mean, that's a problem we have with the people. They think this all it is, write the complaint. The complaint's only 10% of the case. If you got the complaint done well, it'll make the other 90% go well. But there's still a lot of things that go on after you file the complaint that you need to have a really great understanding of. And you have to be really good at, because the system is really corrupt out of massive ignorance. They've dumbed all these people down over the last 50 years, and most of these judges with no rights of his climbing out of their aff end. You know what I mean? So that's why it's really difficult. But you do better as you go up. All you can do is make a record for the appeal, understand how to do that, and do it well. And it's not hard if you understand what you're doing. And you most likely do well in the appellate courts, because as you work your way up, you get less corruption. They tend to be a little better with the law and making sure that, you know, the process is done properly. But the lower courts are really broke bad. They always have been. Since I can remember, they've been bad, you know. So,
yeah, most all federal cases are mainly paperwork, unless you're getting a jury trial or something like that. But, you know, when you're doing a paper suit, you know, you have to make sure that you challenge, that you object whenever you have to, because failure to object timely is fatal. And if you don't object during your initial case, then you will not be able to pursue that in the appellate level because it is not part of the record. So there's a lot of good stuff, you know. It's amazing. And, you know, there's a lot of young people that really, really, and I'm hoping that we can really get a lot of the younger generation that are, you know, afraid to leave mom's basement and get them out on their own and get them to learn what freedom is all about. Because if they don't, another generation or two, and you know, this country is gone. If we even make it that far, I have my doubts about what the hell is going to happen next year, let alone in a year or two or five from now. Because if you don't know your rights, you don't have any, because you don't know when they're being violated and when to object. And you know, so, but
well, like well, I said, a, there's a There's a reason they don't teach it to you. So that's all you have to look at. Why do they not teach it to you?
Yeah, they don't even teach you, you know, really math. I mean, a lot of these kids that are coming out of school, they're at fifth grade level, and they're supposedly coming out of high school, and they're at a fifth or sixth grade level in mathematics and reading. You know, if you can't read, you're never going to find out what the hell is going on unless you've got somebody that's going to read every sentence for you. It's all done, and at least, you know, in my mind, it's all done intentionally. You know, some people think, you know, that's a conspiracy theory and all that crap. I think they wish they'd remove that word from the dictionary, but I'm sorry, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact that a lot of this is going on, and they're keeping us ignorant. You know, that's just like they didn't teach slaves to read, how to read and write, because then they might learn how to escape from their indenture.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt they've dumbed the American people down. I think there's a great book by Charlotte, somebody that delivered Dumbing Down of America, and she does a great job of showing how the curriculum has been dumbed down just to pass the students on to the next grade, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we need the Constitution for Dummies, you know, like Windows for Dummies.
Well, yeah, that'd be great. I think there is a book called Constitutional for Dummies, if I remember. I think I've seen something like that before, but it's not that tough of a read, you know? So you just have to sit down and read it, and your state constitutions.
All right, well, we got another break. We'll be back in 5 minutes. We'll have another 5 minutes, and then we'll start taking calls on the second hour.
Pure Pounder Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Somehow we get around it. Listen.
We're back. Almost the end of the first hour. We're going to take some calls. So if you have any questions, I hope you've been taking notes. I hope your brain hasn't exploded a little bit, because Steve is really laid it out there that we can, there is something we can do. So all these people that are being, that are suffering, I've gotten a dozen emails over the last 2 weeks, ever since I said I was going to get Steve on. And people are in multiple states, Kansas, Missouri, Indiana, Georgia. A whole bunch of states that I can't think of off the top of my head. And that people are asking me, how do I do this? How do I do this? And I basically wrote them back and told them, say, look, we're going to have Steve on. I'm not sure that he is going to be able to give you any specifics about your particular state, because he has basically solved his in Florida. But it might be a good lead. And, you know, we'll go from there. But I think he's given us a good explanation of what to look for. And I'm sure as hell going to start digging more, because I'd really love to start a revolution down here in Texas and stop paying all these property taxes, because there's a lot of people down here that are paying money that they just can't afford. And everything Steve has outlined, that most likely they do not have to. Now, when we were talking about the property tax, Steve, what about someone that, like I have neighbors here that have farms, you know, they raise goats for sale, they raise chickens to sell eggs and things like that. Would that be considered a use in order to be able to tax their property? I mean, I know it's Texas, you don't know really about the Texas laws, but if it was in Florida, if I had property and I was raising crops for sale, or chickens or goats or pigs or whatever, would that give them justification to say, hey, you're using that property for profit or gain?
Well, just to clear this up, all the states are pretty much the same. All the states have pretty much conducted their tax code off the Internal Revenue Code. And all of it has to be, like I said, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, where it sets up the taxation issue of what they're allowed to tax. To me, you could own your own private farm and do your thing and do private, you know, business. Only if you're on commercial. That's the only thing you can see in the tax code. They're always talking about commercial farm property. That's all they talk about taxing. So, I mean, I have friends that own farms and they're growing their own stuff, and they do things, barter with each other, I guess. You know, the guy does corn, trades corn for tomatoes. The other guy grows and does things like that. And I think some of them do sell on a local market, you know. You know, of course, they tax everybody's property. You know, that's kind of what they've been doing since I can remember. They act like if it's not in the exemption section, which, you know, most exemption codes usually state things like businesses, like a nonprofit, religious, and schools and things like that are exempt from the ad valorem tax. So they act like if it's not there, then they can tax it, you know. But that's a big conflict with the constitutional right to property ownership, you know. You can't be a taxpayer just because you own property. That's what caught my attention in the 80s. By the time I was about 24, 25, I had about $80,000 worth of musical equipment, synthesizers and all the crap it took to run them, stands and all, you know, the effects cabinets and mixing boards. I paid no taxes on that. All of a sudden, I bought a house for about the same price. Now, all of a sudden, I'm some taxpayer. How's that? That's not possible. You can't just be a taxpayer because you own property.
All right. Well, here's the end of the first hour. Hang tight, folks. Get your questions ready. We've already got some calls waiting. Let's see what we can, what kind of questions we can come up with for Steve. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.